Joining us right now is Aaron Lewis from Stained, and of course he's doing some solo stuff too and has all kinds of great stuff going on, from television to guitar sales. Welcome to the program.
How are you?
It's great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you.
You have a, you know, I must admit that I first got turned on to Stained by listening to the Howard Stern Show.
Mm.
You guys do a lot of stuff with them.
Howard has been very, very good to us over the years.
Well, it got me as a fan of Stained, and
that's awesome.
I ended up picking up the Illusions of Progress album.
Oh, cool.
It's good stuff.
Thank you.
Now, listening to some of the earlier stuff, it's kind of a change for the group and the sound.
I guess you would probably have to listen to it from beginnings all the way through to where we're at now for it not to seem as dramatic as it is. I mean, obviously, if you go from Dysfunction straight to the Illusion of Progress, it's a pretty dramatic change. But if you go from record to record to record, I think it all kind of follows suit.
Yeah. Well, Stained kind of got their name, though, from the music was kind of, you know, a little different than what you're hearing here, especially the such a positive type of music, especially some of the songs that are on this one.
Well, you know, it's always been there. It's just been masked with the feelings of the moment. But in pretty much every song that paints a darker picture over the years with Stains, there's been a moment of hope and a moment of clarity in pretty much every song. If you miss it, you would take the song as face value, as being, you know, somber and kind of, you know, dark always. But there's always a key flip.
No, that's true. In the darkness, there always was some light in some of the music.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I believe it has that sense of optimism that really shines.
Well, thank you. You know, sorry about that. My plow guy is going by. He's plowing in front of the house right now, and I might be.
Plow guys, oh.
Yeah, we got close to 2 feet where I am.
Oh, great! Where are you?
I'm up in the Berkshires.
Wow.
We'll take the rain here. I'm thinking I'm pretty lucky that I'm flying out of Boston today and not flying out of Hartford.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not really into that snow thing.
No, you guys don't get anywhere near as much down there as we do up here.
Yeah. Now, how long have you actually lived there?
It's gotta be almost 10 years that I've lived up here in the Berkshires, and I've lived in Massachusetts since 7th grade, and I'll be 38 in April, so.
Very peaceful place, though, huh?
Especially up where I am, where I live, it hasn't changed here in you know, 200 or 300 years. It's still a town of 1,200 people, and nothing's really changed much. It's like a Norman Rockwell picture.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of the things that are happening with you. One of the things that is really kind of cool is this stuff with Gibson guitars. Tell us about the deal you have with them. I know some of them are already sold out, but you still have some that are available.
Well, we made 413 guitars, and the first 13 are completely aged, and the first 50 are actually completely aged and spot on identical to my 1951 Southern Jumbo that I play. All of the guitars were built to the original building specs, like they were built in 1951, with the hot hide glue and the much thinner nitrocellulose finish. And I really tried to pay attention. I was a stickler for details on putting this guitar together, as far as making sure that everything was done the way it would have been done in 1951. And they really came out quite amazing sounding. And, you know, I take my 1951 and play it, and then take one of those and play it, and they're almost spot on identical.
Wow.
So I can't wait to hear what these guitars sound like in 40 or 50 years, which is how much time it took for this real 1951 to sound the way that it does.
Yeah. I assume that, you know, like hockey players who have their favorite sticks and baseball players will have their favorite bats, that you get really attached to your guitar, and if something happened to it, it kind of puts you out of sorts for a while.
Yeah, I would be pretty... I'd be pretty devastated if any of these guitars that I play in a live performance just all of a sudden weren't there anymore.
Well, you're lucky you got.
I'm not one that leaves the good ones at home.
Yeah, well, you're lucky that you got all these backups now if you needed them.
Yeah.
It's a, you know.
But, you know, the guitars that I play live are all the old collectible guitars that I have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Stained, I play a 1957 gold top that was owned by Jimmy Rip before it was owned by me. It's been on like 45 different records. It's been on stage with Mick Jagger during all of the solo stuff because Jimmy Rip was his guitar player. I play a 1958 Gibson ES355, which is only 10. There's only 10 of them that were ever made in 1958, and it was the very...
So, if folks want to get one of those guitars, they just go to Gibson.com for that, right?
Yes, sir. I'm hoping that they never make it past the website and they get bought up so quick that they never hit the stores.
Yeah, well, I know that the original 13 are long gone.
The original 13 went pretty quick.
Yeah.
They were a very expensive guitar, but I had taken them out on tour with me and played them on stage and sat around my house and played them and used them in the studio a little bit and hand signed and numbered each one and you know, so I guess those were a little bit bigger of a deal.
Yeah, well, these are still a pretty big a deal, and folks out there who are really into the guitar and into Sting guitar and Aaron Lewis's music.
Forget about the fact that my name is on it. I really was very specific as to how I wanted these guitars built. They have the original 1930s advanced jumbo X-bracing for the tops, and they have hand-picked pieces of wood that were picked for the grain width, and you know, there was a lot of attention paid to details. And all of the, you know, like there was the hot hide glue that they would use to glue in the necks, and the super thin nitrocellulose finish that allowed the wood to breathe a lot more, and all these things that they don't do now that they used to do then, I was insistent upon them doing it that way.
Right.
So, you know, I'm a collector as well, so I tried to think of it from a collectible point of view. You know, Ren Ferguson, who is the head of the Gibson Custom Acoustic Shop, was very integral in all of the processes to building the guitar and picking out the wood and you know, that all means something in the collectible world.
Mm. Now, talking about collecting, people also like to collect tickets to go see you. You have been incredibly successful in your solo tour. I know that you sold out Mohegan Sun. You've had a lot of incredible concerts along the way. Is it even more fun going on your own, or is it more fun touring with Stained?
I enjoy both. They're two separate animals, and I'm very lucky that I have the opportunity to do both. You know, but as far as the success of this, you know, Mohegan Sun just inducted me into their Walk of Fame because over the last 6 years, I've played 32 sold-out shows in a row.
Wow.
I started in the big room and sold that out the first time I ever played it, and we felt like it wasn't intimate enough, so we moved it to the Cabaret Theater, and it was multiple nights in a row every time I did it, and it got to the point where the final year that I played in the Cabaret before I moved back to the big room, it was 15 nights in a row sold out. So I then the following year moved to the big room and last year did 8,500 in the arena.
Wow.
Just me sitting on a stool, and then this year did, you know, like 7,500. But, I mean, that's amazing with the economy the way that it is.
It is amazing. And you're also going to be on TV. I know that you're going to be on Outdoor Channel's Dream Season Celebrity. Has that gone on the air yet?
It starts June 28th, and I believe that there's somewhere between 18 and 25 episodes, and there's a new episode on every week until the episodes are over, and then it goes into rerun, and it's on multiple times a week until this time next year.
Cool. It's a reality hunting show.
Yeah. It's a hunting show, just like any other hunting show. It follows you over the entire season instead of just snippets from here and there.
Yeah, but you're paired with you're not paired with another celebrity. You're with someone else, right?
No, both of my partners are sergeant majors in the Army.
Huh. That's cool.
And then it just so happens that I got teamed up with Team Army. And then another celebrity got teamed up with a different team. And there's four celebrities. It was me, Tim Sylvia from the UFC, J.W. Hart from bull riding, and Adam Wainwright from baseball.
So it sounds like you're the biggest name that they had there in this show. How'd you do? Can you tell us how you did?
Oh, we didn't win. But I'm not gonna. Here's the deal: the deer that the minimum size for the deer that you can shoot to be on camera is too young for me.
Mm.
You know, I've been hunting my whole life. I'm beyond killing things, you know, just to kill them. I fill my freezer and I eat everything that I shoot, but I'm a lot more picky now about what I'm gonna shoot and what I'm not gonna shoot from management. The health of the deer herd. And I saw and had encounters with and have on film, you know, many, many, many deer that, as far as antler size, were big enough to shoot on camera. But in my world, they weren't big enough to shoot. They were 3.5-year-old deer, and I'm looking for a 4.5-year-old deer or older.
I see.
And it's all about management. Once that deer is 4.5, I don't care what the horns look like.
So a game, as far as the game went, it wasn't important to you as your own morality.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, the first deer that I shot for the competition was, in my mind, when I walked up to it, I was crushed because it was a 3.5-year-old deer. It's a big, beautiful deer. It looks, the footage is amazing, and it's gorgeous. I'm not complaining, but it went against how I feel.
Understood. Quick question about your songwriting. You're one of the more prolific songwriters out there. What usually inspires you to write? Do you write all the time, or are there times when the muse hits and you just start writing?
It just happens. It just happens. You know, these old guitars that I have, they're full of ghosts.
Hmm.
And all I really have to do is swap guitars around. I'll have one guitar down at the house kicking around, and you know, the guitar that I have kicking around right now over the last month has wrote 3 or 4 different songs, and you know, it's time to switch that guitar out. And I don't know if it's psychological. I guess it probably is. I truly believe that these old guitars have songs in them.
I wouldn't doubt you. I write poetry and stuff, and it just comes sometimes out of nowhere. You just wonder how it gets there. You know?
I lose so many poignant lines and stuff like that just pop in my head, and they're gone before I can write them down or anything.
Do you keep a notebook by your bed?
No. It's never a wake up in the middle of the night thing.
Yeah.
It's never that for me. It's driving in my car. Hearing a song on the radio and having a phrase stick out to me, and you know, all of a sudden, you know, that phrase from that song just wrote a whole chorus in my mind, and you know, it's kind of crazy how it all works.
Now, you have three daughters. Are any of them into your music? Do they enjoy when Dad sings in the car?
Dad has fun with them in the car. You know, Dad will be singing, but he'll be singing to Radio Disney. So
yeah.
I'll be belting out with Miley Cyrus or you know, the Jonas Brothers, or you know,
understand that. Now, how old is Zoe, Nyla, and Indy now?
7, 4, and 2.
Oh, wow.
But it's almost 8, 5, and 3.
That's still, that's a lot of work for Vanessa at home, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Well,
she's an amazing woman and an amazing mother, and I'm very lucky.
Is she going to get a chance to go back out and act again?
You know, let me tell you, that video that she did, because that's her in the It's Been a While video, she has never to this day been more mortified in her entire life. And you know, it was a very, very funny situation. And no, I don't think this will be furthering her acting career.
Okay. She's going to stick to motherhood, huh?
Yeah, she's really, really, really good at that.
Yeah. Well, that's the most important job there is. And talking about important stuff, folks, if you want to check out Stained, you can go to www.staind.com. There's you can go right over to get more information on Aaron Lewis, or you can go to Gibson.com on the guitars. And, Aaron, it was a real pleasure talking to you today. I hope everything goes well for you.
Hey, thank you very much.
Take care.
See ya.
Bye-bye.